You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In the 80s, we'll talk about days gone by. In the 80s, when a woman's hair was high. In the 80s, in the 80s.
Hey, this is Devo Spice, and you're flopping around on the Flopcast. You are! Trust me!
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 291.
And it's the holidays, baby!
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it is the holidays, isn't it?
It is.
Now we're in the middle of the holidays. Good job.
I loved how Thanksgiving came a little bit early this year, and everybody seems to have put up their lights already, their holiday lights.
We have fully decorated the studio.
You're going to have to take my word for it, listeners. It is magnificent here in Chickentown Studios.
We have a couple of trees right here in the studio with us. There's chickens all over it. It's a very chicken-themed tree.
Is it my imagination, or are there more turkeys than there ever have been before?
There's a couple of turkeys on there, yeah. There's a couple of little shiny turkey ornaments, mostly chickens.
The turkeys are on the rise.
Yeah. There's got to be literally dozens of chicken ornaments on our tree. It's a combination of chickens, and it's a lot of stuff from, like, the Rankin-Bass cartoons as well. A lot of Rudolph Rankin-Bass cartoon ornaments as well. The Miser Brothers are up there. The Burgermeister's up there somewhere.
And do I see a Pez dispenser?
It's a Pez dispenser ornament. It's an ornament that looks just like the snowman Pez dispenser. There's no Pez in there. Don't go diving across the room.
Okay.
Knocking the whole tree over, looking for Pez. It's not going to work. And of course, at the very top, as always, Flying Spaghetti Monster.
In all of its shimmering glory.
Creepily staring down upon us with its two weird little eyeballs.
Those are the shiniest meatballs I've ever seen.
Yeah, we do have a Flying Spaghetti Monster tree topper. It's incredibly festive.
It really is.
So how was Thanksgiving?
Oh, yummy.
You ate Thanksgiving.
I ate it. I ate it all.
It's gone. That's why it's not Thanksgiving anymore.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It's just gone. It was perfectly lovely. Thank you. It was in Rhode Island.
Really?
Yeah. Not Woonsocket. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
It was great. Thanks. And yeah, lovely holiday weekend. Now here we are, middle of the holidays. No fooling around. We've got a lot of holiday stuff to get through in the next few shows. We only have a few shows to get through, and then it's all going to be over.
It's true. And we got to blast through these because I got to get out there and cruise around and see my holiday lights. You know how I am at this time of year.
Yeah, you have to creep around and see the crazy lights and display contests that people have set up, to use Charlie Brown terminology.
And I've already been to the trap tree.
The big lobster trap tree up in Maine. You went up there already.
I have,
Is it all set up, all lit up?
Yes, with a glorious shining lobster on top.
Up in Maine, it's a big pile of lobster traps, and they decorate it like a Christmas tree.
Made into a tree, yes.
Yeah. And you go up and see it every year.
At least once.
At least once. Outstanding. I've not been up there to see the trap tree. And let's be honest, I'm probably never going to get up there.
I'll go enough for both of us.
Yeah, you have to represent both of us. Represent the show up there at the trap tree. Say, Cornflake, this is Flopcast episode 291, and we kicked this off last week. We're doing a run now of 10 episodes all about the 90s. They said we'd never do it. But here we are doing shows about the 90s, which kind of scares me. But this is episode 291, which means we are up to 1991. This is your National Whatever Day segment. I'm going to say right now, I did not prepare anything for 91. This is all on you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm taking the week off from the 90s. But what do you have for 1991 for National Whatever Day?
My pick for 1991 is a little happy happy and a little joy joy.
Yep.
Because in August of 1991 on Nickelodeon, three new shows started to air. They were Doug and Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about Ren and Stimpy.
Okay. See, I didn't realize that was 91. I would have guessed 92.
I wonder if that's because that's when people started to really know about it.
Yeah, I think maybe it really picked up steam in like an early 92. I think.
Because 92 is when I started to watch it.
Yeah, it might have started kind of quietly, and then people started noticing, wait a minute, something really weird is happening.
Right, because the show stuck out like a sore thumb on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
It was really off color.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of dark humor.
I never got way into it. I did not see a lot of Ren and Stimpy.
So, with the rise and fame of Ren and Stimpy, there came copycat shows to close in on that same market, because evidently people liked this wacky stuff.
It kicked off this run of, hey, look, we can do crazy things now in cartoons.
Right. And one of the shows that came out of that was an all-time favorite of mine, and that was Two Stupid Dogs.
Right, you've mentioned that. I still have not seen Two Stupid Dogs. I know you're a fan.
I've got to get the DVDs back from Doornail.
Not Doornail.
I can subject you to Two Stupid Dogs.
She has all our best DVDs. Doornail has them.
But it started with Ren and Stimpy, which, like you said, I really didn't even start watching it till 1992, so I was surprised when I looked into it and saw that it started in 91. Big reason I didn't see it right away was because, despite the fact that it was on Nickelodeon, which, during the early 90s, I will admit, I was glued to Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
During the day, you had the kids' shows, and I was kind of in love with Nick at Night, too. Mm-hmm. So, this was the one show on Nickelodeon that I was not allowed to watch.
Oh, wow.
There were rules in my household, and evidently my parents thought that the show was gruesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of outrageous for its time and for its channel.
A little bit violent.
Yeah, and it could be kind of gross out stuff. And,
yeah.
They're really pushing the envelope, you know? But that's good.
Yeah. As a preteen, I thought.
Sure.
That's fantastic. So actually, I would I snuck over to a friend's house to watch this.
Right.
And
climbed out the window?
Or climbed in the window, as the case may be, because I think 1991 was Clarissa Explains It All, too. Uh-huh. That's when that started.
Okay.
Which was also a Nickelodeon show.
They climb in windows on that show?
Sam. Okay. Her friend Sam
climbed
in the window.
I've never seen the show. I don't know what's going on.
I've told you about this before.
Yeah, but I
expect you to remember every word.
I don't know anything. You know that. It was John Kricfalusi. John K, they usually just called him to keep it simple.
Yeah, for the sake of not tripping over your own tongue.
Right. Creator of the show. The voice of Ren, originally.
Right, and until he had some creative differences.
There was a falling out with the network.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Billy West voices Stimpy.
Right.
And then also voice of Ren, right?
Right.
Billy just took over both voices because he's Billy West. He can do everything.
That's true.
But Ren, the Ren voice was sort of a Peter Lorre type voice, which
I love.
That's
what they were going for.
You know I love a good Peter Lorre voice.
I loved it so much that there were times that Ren had brief monologues on the show, and I would memorize the words. I could try to recite one for you right now, but it would be, it was just non sequitur nonsense, which I thought was so funny. Like, you know, hi Guido, I'm the keeper of the cheese and you're the lemon merchant.
Right.
And I just kind of pull that out in random conversations, and that's what made me so popular in junior high. What surprised me, I didn't realize that there had been 52 episodes of this show.
Uh-huh.
And I know I own the set of DVDs somewhere.
Does Doornail have your Ren and Stimpy DVDs?
She might.
Doornail. Come on.
If I didn't love it already, Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy, the song, would have put me
you
right
like
over the...
You like that song?
Oh, do I?
I don't think I like that song. Little too dopey for me. I had my fill of that song very quickly.
Oh, not me. I will love that song forever. The words seemed random to me.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that they were actually phrases from things that Burl Ives has said.
Burl Ives?
Yes. So I looked this up. And
the Happy Joy song is based on quotes from Burl Ives?
I don't think you're happy enough. Yeah, things like that.
Only quotes I know from Burl Ives come from the aforementioned Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon. That's as far as I go with Burl Ives. He's a snowman with a goatee.
The song liberally quotes numerous lyrics and lines of dialogue from Ives' films and records, creating a series of non sequiturs.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah, neither did I.
That's bizarre.
It is. And the origin of Ren and Stimpy. Now, this surprises me. John Kay pitched a few shows to Nickelodeon. And one of them was a show that was either going to be called Our Gang or Your Gang. And in it was a character who had pets named Ren and Stimpy. And the executives liked nothing else about the show except for Ren and Stimpy. And that's how Ren and Stimpy got a show.
It'd be like if Matt Groening brought The Simpsons to Fox and they just bought Itchy and Scratchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Got it. I did like Powdered Toast Man. I like a big piece of toast that's a superhero. If I'm remembering correctly, I think Powdered Toast Man was voiced by Gary Owens. That was the guy that did the voice of like Space Ghost and Birdman and all those classic Hanna-Barbera superheroes. Like, they got the real guy to do Powdered Toast Man.
That sounds right.
I think so.
I liked the horse. I don't know what the horse's name was, but the horse that would say, "No, sir, I don't like it."
Oh, I don't remember like that one either. Bit. Yeah, I'm pretty clueless about Ren and Stimpy, I guess. All I know is Toast Man. I could not name any other supporting cast members.
And I was a fan of Log, which was a parody of Slinky.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember the Log song. Yes.
It's Log, Log, Log.
All right, well, hey, thanks for sharing Ren and Stimpy with us as your memory from 1991.
My pleasure.
And we'll do it again next week for 92, of course. Hey, remember last week I mentioned that I was about to start going out and going to a whole bunch of shows, like all on a crazy run? Well, I did it.
A slew of concerts.
Yeah, yeah. I went out to 6 concerts in 10 days.
And
because I'm crazy.
Are still standing.
Yes. So what happened was Letters to Cleo did some reunion concerts in Boston. And, you know, I love Letters to Cleo. But, yeah, Cleo announced these 3 nights in a row at the Paradise Rock Club. This is to celebrate the release of their 3 albums. They put out, like, 3 full-length albums back in the 90s. And they just were all released on vinyl for the first time. You know, because people are so obsessed with vinyl now all of a sudden.
I know.
For some reason. So the Cleo albums are now available on vinyl. So these shows were to celebrate the new vinyl reissues. Now, ordinarily, I would, if they were doing 3 shows, I would go to one of those shows, you know, and walk away a satisfied customer of mm-hmm. Cleo. However, what they were doing because of this album reissue thing, every night they played an entire album, one of the 3 albums each night.
So each night's show is going to be different.
Yes, yes.
Which means, can only mean one
which
thing.
Which means, guess what idiot showed up all 3 nights?
Well, I don't think you're an idiot, but I know it was you.
I was like, oh, Cleo, they got me. I have to go to all 3, I think.
That is some smart marketing right there.
Yeah, every night they started the show by just doing an entire album, and then they do a second set of other stuff. But yeah, I was there. I got my special 3-day pass.
Did they seriously make those?
They made a special 3-day pass, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
I had a lanyard with a badge on it that says, like, sucker or something on it. Oh, okay. It says something on it. And there were a bunch of us that went to all 3 shows.
That is a good thing. And the fact that they made these special passes for it means yeah. they expected people to do it, so it didn't freak them out when the same people showed up over
there
and over.
Yeah, I got it right here. See that? There's a Letters to Cleo 3-day pass, like a fancy little lanyard.
This pass is not... This pass is only valid.
This pass is only valid for entrance to the show. But what else do you suppose people would try to do with it?
I'm imagining people trying to get on the T with that.
This will open any door in the world. You know, I didn't read the fine print until you just started trying to read it right now. That's so weird. This pass is only valid for entrance to the show.
It's fun to imagine what else people might use that for.
You can't just walk into people's homes with this, wherever you want. Just go to the show with it. I didn't read that part before, but I'm glad I didn't try to go anywhere else with it. That would have been very embarrassing.
Don't try to buy your groceries with it.
So it was Letters to Cleo, of course, which I love. You know, Kay Hanley, my favorite singer. This is Kay's band. People know Kay from the old Josie and the Pussycats movie. She was the voice of Josie and the Pussycats. That was Kay. Night 1, Kay wore a t-shirt from The Rat. Like the old legendary Boston yeah. rock club, The Rat. The Rat was like Boston's version of CBGB.
Yeah.
It was like a filthy little punk rock club. And The Rat just closed 20 years ago. So maybe okay. she was commemorating the death of The Rat in 1997, I believe. Night 2, she wore a Cheap Trick t-shirt, which was cool. I know they're a big fan of Cheap Trick, as am I. In fact, I think all 3 nights they actually covered I Want You to Want Me, classic Cheap Trick song.
I would love to hear Letters yeah. to Cleo do that.
Yeah, they do a great cover of a Cheap Trick. And night 3, she had a t-shirt that said Girl Power.
Sweet.
Very appropriate all 3 nights.
I'm all for that.
They had the same opening band all 3 nights, which was Blake Babies.
Also a Boston band?
Also a Boston band. This is Juliana Hatfield's old band.
I knew I recognized that name.
Before Juliana kind of broke out as a solo artist in the early to mid-90s, Blake Babies were a Boston trio back then, and I've seen Juliana several times, but I never saw the Blake Babies. Well, I saw them 3 times last week. So that was cool. It's nice to see. And this is the original three people, you know, from way back then. And they look so crazy young. It's hard to believe that this band was around like 30 years ago because, I mean, Juliana looks super young. And then the drummer, Frida, she looks like she's in college. So it's the secret to eternal youth, I think, was being a Boston band in the 90s.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that awesome music tends to keep the years away.
I think so. So Blake Babies were fun, too. And I saw Juliana just earlier this year at one of those ACLU benefit shows. Juliana put out a record earlier this year called Pussycat. It's a very angry political record.
Remember you telling me about this?
Yeah. Well, Juliana wrote and produced this album at the beginning of the year, like right after the election.
In no time flat.
And it's called Pussycat, and it's not subtle. So much so that I have a hard time listening to it. It's a great album. I recommend everybody check it out, but it's hard to listen to. That's how on point it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, Julianne is great too. So what a run of shows that was. It was a little weird going three nights in a row to the same show.
Yeah, that's going to work your schedule.
I've never done that before. I was trying to think of this. I've been to back-to-back nights seeing the same band a couple of times. I've never done three in a row.
I've done that too.
Have you done three in a row?
No, I've done two.
You've done two? Yeah.
I've not done three in a row ever.
By night three, it just started feeling like this is my job.
Right. This is my life now.
Yeah. Same commute every evening, go to the same place. I'd see the same people there in the audience, you know, with their lanyards that apparently let you in anywhere in the world that you want to go.
Right.
And it was like I work with Juliana Hatfield now. We're all just reporting to our job every night. I went by myself the first night. Second night, the mayor came along, and the mayor was planning to go to the last two nights, and she bailed out. She was like, after one night, she said, this is great, but I can't do this again tomorrow. And I don't blame her, but another friend of mine stepped up and came along the third night. So that was excellent anyway. Man, I love Letters to Cleo, and their three records have all been reissued on vinyl now. Plus, there's a new EP from just last year as well, so a lot of good Cleo records out there.
Wonderful.
A couple of days after that, we went back. This is just one night now. It's not a multiple run of shows, but Felicity wanted to see Squeeze. And I like them. I was always cool with Squeeze, but I never sought them out. I never went to see them before. But they were just one of those really respected pop bands out of England.
I would call them a musician's musician.
Yeah, they're just like really intelligent pop rock kind of stuff. You know, they're always held in very high regard, very critically acclaimed. Not massively successful commercially in America. They had a couple of minor hits, and I think that was about it over here. But
yeah, not super mainstream.
Yeah, but you know, people know Tempted, and they know Hourglass. And
I love Hourglass.
Yeah, a couple more like that. They had a few hits that people would know. And we went to see Squeeze. And when they come out, and the front man, it's Glenn Tilbrook, he's one of those guys that he starts to sing, and you think, oh, he sounds just like himself.
Yes.
That's that voice. He's actually doing the voice that you hear on the records, which sounds ridiculous, but yet that's what goes through my head, is he sounds just like himself.
Well, that's about the most honest appraisal you can get.
Yeah, yeah. I was so confused that it wasn't Juliana Hatfield, I guess, at that point, that I didn't know what to think.
But in some ways, you kind of have to say, wait, what did I expect him to sound like?
Yeah, so they were cool. Nice to see Squeeze. And then I had a couple of nights off after that. For Thanksgiving.
I'm really glad you took a breather because I was worried about you.
I took Wednesday and Thursday off, celebrated the holiday, you know, watched the parade, saw all the crazy people.
Do you not see enough crazy people already?
I don't care. I watch that stupid parade every year. But then the next night, back out I go. And this was for Nikki Lucarelli, our friend Nikki.
Oh, yes. And the holiday show.
You know what she does every Thanksgiving weekend? I think this was the sixth annual. Can you believe that? Black Friday David Bowie tribute show. So this is Nikki and her band just doing all the Bowie songs.
Also known as the David Booby show.
David Booby, they call it, because it is also a burlesque show.
Yes.
There are burlesque dancers running around the room all night while Nikki and her band are performing. There's no bigger David Bowie fan in the world than Nikki Lucarelli.
To the degree that when David Bowie did pass, people worried about her.
Yeah, that was my first thought. When Bowie died, I immediately thought, oh no, what about Nikki? Has anyone checked on Nikki? And I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, I was backstage with her at a thing she was doing, helping her move her equipment or something. And she was just so excited because she had some Bowie bootleg, some obscure bootleg stuff she just gotten a hold of. And she was like, I'm just going back to my hotel room. I've got these rare Bowie bootlegs, and that's my night. So I've been to these Bowie burlesque shows that Nikki puts on a couple times in the past, at least. But got tickets for the Friday night show, her big Black Friday show. But she did a show Friday, and she did a show Saturday night as well. Now, it turns out some other friends of mine wanted to go see Nikki, but I got my Friday tickets. Then I found out my other friends, they could only go Saturday.
I see.
So then I got the Saturday tickets as well. And suddenly I'm going out to the same show two nights in a row for the second time this week. But it's cool because it's Nikki's show.
And worth it.
Yeah, it's Nikki's Bowie tribute burlesque show. So why wouldn't you want to be there both nights, you know? So I was there Friday night with my friend Martha, and I went Friday night.
So, well, at least the shows were a little bit different each night?
Yeah, they were slightly different in that the Friday show was longer and had more dancers, more extra performers in it. They had those aerialists, you know, the people that hang from the ceiling on the hoops and
stuff. I enjoy them a lot.
Yeah, oh, they're incredible. Yeah, they were there Friday, and there's a few extra dancers Friday for the longer set. Your friend Jane Doe was there once again.
Oh, I would have liked to have seen her.
Because, you know, the lipstick criminals, the burlesque troupe that usually works with Nikki. Yeah, when I took you to one of these shows, it turns out you knew one of them. One of them was one of your students from water aerobics,
yes.
Right? Yeah, Jane Doe was there. If you remember, Jane Doe has a habit of throwing things at me.
Yes.
Well, I know it's happened at least a couple of times in the past. I think now she's 4 for 4 because she hit me with something again both nights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't think it's me. I think it's where I am because I'm always at the same table in the same spot.
So you're just in the trajectory.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right in the danger zone for a Jane Doe performance.
The cone of concern.
Yeah. Yeah. She keeps hitting me with things. Every time. So that amused me. And the other funny thing about the dancers at Nikki's show was just last week we were talking about your Janet Jackson show.
Yeah.
And I made the cheap joke of asking, were there any wardrobe malfunctions?
Right.
You know, based on her notorious Super Bowl display. Well, at Nikki's show, there was indeed a wardrobe malfunction.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's when Sugar Dish, who's the leader of the Lipstick Criminals, when Nikki plays Young Americans, you know, classic David Bowie song, Sugar comes out on roller skates and she's skating all around the room to Young Americans. And it's great. One of the highlights of the show. But Sugar had a wardrobe malfunction.
On skates.
She was on skates and something happened, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was impressed by Sugar Dish, though. She has a wardrobe malfunction and she does not shy away from it. She just owned it. She was like, well, everybody, here you go.
Right.
Enjoy.
The show must go on.
Oh, it sure did. Yeah, Friday night, it was my friend Martha. My friend Andrea was there. You know Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris. And Saturday night, we had the mayor and Steve, Matt, Jane, a whole big other wacky crew of us were there. I was the only maniac that showed up both nights, I think. But there you go. So that was that capped my 6 concerts in 10 nights run.
I don't know how you're still standing after this. I really, I would need to take about a month off after that.
No, it was fine. We had a lovely time. That's how you ring in the holidays, you know, with a wardrobe malfunction.
Yes, I will bear that in mind.
That never happened in the old Rankin Bass specials, did it?
Well, you know, that snowman wasn't wearing very much.
That's true. Yeah. If the one false move by the Burl Ives snowman, look out. I don't know what you might catch a glimpse of.
I'm sorry. I just told myself a joke I can't repeat.
Hopefully just the snow goatee. That was creepy enough.
That's true.
I was always a little freaked out by that snow goatee.
I'm like solidly in the camp of feeling like people should do whatever they want with their facial hair, but snow goatees are just not like... I know there are things to be more upset about in the world, but...
Yeah, but that's what you've chosen to be most upset about.
It unravels me, Kevin.
Yeah.
Snow goatees.
I heard Juliana Hatfield is very angry and is working on a whole album just as an attack on the snow goatee.
Well, she can channel my angst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't wait. Say, Cornflake, you know what I thought we could do today to really ring in the holidays, since this is really the first of our big holiday spectaculars for the year?
Are we going to make rubber chicken wreaths?
Yeah, I guess we could make a rubber chicken wreath.
That would be so cool.
Do you have several rubber chickens that we could somehow braid together?
I don't yet.
All right.
I'll make a note.
Throws a wrench in our rubber chicken wreath plan.
All right. So that can't be the plan.
Yeah,
what else?
Forget that.
What else do we have in mind?
Well, it's become a holiday tradition around here. And I thought, well, it's still relatively early in the holidays. Let's get this out of the way so we don't run out of time. Because we do have some weird holiday plans coming up for the next couple of weeks. Let's do this tonight. And that is, we've done this at least a couple times before. You know our segment, The Pudding Pages.
Yes.
Which we haven't done in a while now. We're a few weeks behind on doing The Pudding Pages. In honor of the holidays, we put a little twist on it. A holiday twist. We make this the Figgy Pudding Pages.
And it's guaranteed to be ridiculous.
Yes. So I've got one of our Pudding Pages books here. We have the 90s book, of course, because this is one of our 90s episodes.
We're in the 90s now.
Gotta go with the 90s book, the Totally Sweet 90s, which is a book of stuff from the 90s. It's like a big alphabetical book of just goofy things that you might remember from the 90s. In all likelihood, it'll be something that I do not remember, but you do, and then you'll have to explain it to me.
I will have to carry the flop day.
Yes. So we're going to pick something at random out of this book, and we will discuss it. But because it's the Figgy Pudding Pages, we're going to have to make it somehow holiday-themed as well.
Yeah.
We can't just discuss whatever's on that page. We have to put a holiday twist on it.
And this is where things get, like, completely bananas.
That's the challenge. The other challenge is we have to land on a page at random. So you know what that means?
Supercomputer.
Fire up that supercomputer. Now, we've got all these Christmas lights strung up here around the studio already, so even more than usual, there may be some kind of horrifying electrical problem when we throw that switch and fire up the supercomputer. We're probably going to blow a fuse.
If we're lucky, it will just be blowing a fuse.
We might trip some circuit breakers. Let's see what happens.
The whole neighborhood's going down.
All right, so we have this supercomputer that you stole from NASA about 8 years ago. Was it during the holidays that you stole this thing? Was that how it worked? Like everybody was home from NASA for the holiday and that you saw your chance to get in and you were down in Florida?
Nobody ever expects that you're going to steal a supercomputer during the holidays.
Certainly not during the holidays.
It is not supercomputer stealing season.
Yeah, that's what you did. You brought it all the way back up here to Chickentown.
And if it was wrong, I don't want to be right.
But we used the supercomputer to generate a random number. That is the page we will turn to in our book here, The Totally Sweet 90s, and we will discuss in a holiday manner whatever is on that page. All right, Cornflick, we are going to page 101. It's right in the middle, I think. All right, this is something I definitely do remember. Cornflick, look at this. Page 101. It's the I've fallen and I can't get up ads. Oh, no.
Life Call.
Life Call, yeah. Wow, you remember the name of the service.
Well, do you know how I remember that?
No.
Because popularized from a mix of, like, it was sampling from that commercial. There was a song, and I think it was on the Dr. Demento show.
Oh, yeah.
It certainly was on the radio stations around here that played funny songs. It was the Life Call rap.
Oh, that might be a different one. There was a Dr. Demento hit song about the I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up ads, but it was not a rap song.
Oh.
So maybe there's a different one that you're thinking of.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Well, it does say here in the book that there were musical remixes, endless parodies, and so on. So there were multiple musical versions were out there. Yeah, I remember a different one from the Demento show. Oh, and he probably played both.
I should have probably realized that there would be more than one.
Yeah. This was quite the phenomenon, wasn't it?
Yes.
That poor old lady.
Yeah, it's really not fair that she got made to be the butt of all those jokes, but...
Well, I guess it was the absurdity of it all.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's a serious issue, and this was a serious service to try to solve a real problem. But just the acting and the overacting
yes.
of these poor actors was just so absurd that we couldn't help. Being the horrible creeps that we were, we could not help just delightfully laughing over the whole thing. And making song parodies.
I appreciated both. I appreciated that this service existed.
Yeah.
And then I thought the Life Call rap and the songs that came out of this were hysterical. I guess I was of two minds about it.
And this is pre-internet for the most part back then. So these days, you could just Instagram a photo of you laying on the floor and send it to all your friends, you know?
I could.
Well, go ahead and try it right now.
Okay.
Send a picture of you on the floor of the studio.
I've fallen.
Send it to Dornail. P.S. Bring my DVDs.
Yes.
Yeah, it actually says here in the book, old people taking dives isn't funny, but this ad sure was.
It was. Yeah,
there's something about that ad. And now I will just sit back and listen while you somehow tie this into the holidays.
More than once. Our Christmas tree has fallen and it couldn't get up.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Could we start some kind of a service that would notify someone when their Christmas tree crashes over?
Christmas tree life alert.
Because people's cats knock trees over all the time. I
right.
know that's a constant threat is your pet is going to tear your tree down.
I'm clumsy. I crash right into the tree
right.
and it falls over.
Could there be some kind of a Christmas tree alert service?
I think there might need to be.
I think this could be a huge profitable new business for us.
Make all of our money at the holidays.
So let's work this out. Your tree crashes over. We need some kind of a sensor or something, a motion sensor on the tree, so that when it crashes, that triggers a call, an alert goes right to your phone. And I want the voice of Mrs. Fletcher on my phone.
Right.
Doing her classic line, but maybe some sleigh bells going behind it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And maybe like a webcam sort of setup.
That's what I'm thinking.
It has to project to you an image of your tree on the floor.
Or a webcam nestled in between the branches.
Yeah.
So that you can actually watch on instant replay the fall happening.
You want the tree's eye view of the fall.
Oh, yes. Still yeah. Now.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. It should be a fully edited music video that arrives on your phone for you to enjoy.
And there could be a day, like if MTV could go back to playing music,
yep.
where people send in videos of their trees falling down.
Yes, so Christmas Day, there should be a special channel where you can just watch everyone's tree crashing videos.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. This is going to be the best holiday ever.
I can only imagine. I mean, you mentioned the one about cats, and yep. I know that I've knocked into a tree and knocked it over, but
yeah.
there must be some interesting circumstances.
Wait a minute, you've knocked Christmas trees over?
Yes.
Just you personally? You just crash into it?
I'm such a brute.
Was this your tree or somebody else's?
Just accidentally lost my footing.
I'm going to ask again, was it your tree? Or was it somebody else's
Once
tree?
Once it was my tree.
Once. Out of like 11 times?
Houses of the damaged trees are renamed to protect the innocent.
We could have a whole day of music videos of just trees that you personally have knocked over.
I'm clumsy. What can I say?
All right. So our takeaway is we're going to be rich.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have a great Christmas watching some great videos, mostly of you. And I think this was the best figgy pudding pages ever.
I agree. Because the other years just don't stack up.
No, that was the best. We're never going to top this. It's also the best idea we've ever had.
The competition wasn't fierce.
No, that was a low bar, but we cleared it. Before we wrap up, we've got a couple of ESO network-related plugs that I wanted to make sure we take care of.
And things have been going on. I heard their new ID recently.
We've been so busy talking about stuff from the 80s and now the 90s.
Right, we've got to get with the now.
We've been neglecting our own network, the ESO network, Earth Station 1. The ESO network we are proudly a part of here on the Flopcast. And for one thing, I made a guest appearance yet again on another ESO network podcast. And that is just a week or so ago, I was on Earth Station DCU. As in DC Comics.
You know, DC Universe.
This is the show that's all about the DC Universe. I was on Earth Station DCU episode 73, and we were talking all about the Justice League movie. So it was your regular hosts, Cletus and Drew, and also Ashley was there, and she's kind of our regular resident ESO movie expert. She does a movie segment on Earth Station 1, and Ashley was there too, and they were nice enough to have me on as well to talk about the Justice League.
Sounds like a good show.
That was fun. It's always fun talking to those guys. Around here, we're way more likely to talk about the Super Friends, but for the new Justice League movie, go to Earth Station DCU episode 73. And also a quick reminder, go to esopodcast.com, because that's kind of the main website for all of the ESO Network shows. You can link to the Flopcast from there, plus every single other show on the network. And also, it's holiday shopping time, you know?
Yeah.
So how about a quick reminder? If you're going to go to Amazon, I do this, Cornflake. If I'm going to buy something on Amazon, I don't just type in Amazon. I type in esopodcast.com. I go there, right at the top of the page, this little button. Then you click on amazon.com from that site. Now it takes you to Amazon. Now you do all your shopping. But the network gets a little tiny commission on whatever you buy.
I'm so glad you reminded me of this, Kevin, because I haven't done my holiday shopping
Perfect.
Yet.
You go esopodcast.com, Cornflake. That's the way to go.
I'm too busy looking at those lights.
Before we get too excited, the money's not going to us here in Chickentown.
Right.
We're not getting your money, people. But if you want to support the network, money goes to the network. And they could use it, you know, keep the network up and running. So, go to amazon.com through the esopodcast.com link to do all your holiday shopping. And I got a couple more things related to the network. We just started an ESO Network Tee Public store.
Like
Have you been to Tee Public?
No, but when you described this, I thought maybe it was warm beverages. It's not that kind of tea.
No, this is tea like t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly t-shirts that they sell here, but there's also, you can get other sorts of products as well. But I've bought some stuff through Tee Public in the past, and ESO Podcast now has a Tee Public store, and that's T-E-E Public. And again, go to esopodcast.com. There's a button right on the top of the page to go to the Tee Public store. But there's a whole bunch of t-shirts. There's got to be a couple dozen t-shirts already with like ESO Network logos on them, or there are logos for some of the various network shows. We do not have a Flopcast t-shirt for sale yet. But at some point, we're going to try to get that set up.
The shirt will have a giant turkey on it.
Perhaps. There might be a turkey, maybe a chicken. For the holidays, we'll have just the remains of a crashed-over Christmas tree on
the
t-shirt.
Oh, that would be so great.
Yep. We'll have you standing over a tree that you've knocked to the ground.
Christmas tree.
Our special Flopcast holiday shirt. Now, at some point, we will try to set up having a Flopcast t-shirt available. But there are already a whole bunch of really cool t-shirt designs available in our Tee Public store. And something else we haven't mentioned in a long time is, remember from a couple months ago, I'm in a book?
Yeah.
Yeah. So another reminder, when you're doing your holiday shopping, the network published another book this year. I have my advance copy right here. It's, once again, it's Earth Station 1, Tales of the Station, Volume 2. And this book just came out at the end of the summer, just in time for Dragon Con.
Love that cover art.
It's beautiful cover art. Mary Ogle did the cover, and it's, yeah, this crazy-looking astronaut on the cover, beautiful outer space kind of design. And this book is a whole bunch of short stories by different people who host shows on the network. And it's a bunch of different, like, little science fiction short stories sort of themed around the ESO network. We've got Joe Crow, you know, our buddy Joe Crow from Dragon Con. Joe Crow, Jason De La Torre, Nathan Laws, Drew Leiter, we just mentioned from Earth Station DCU, Mary Ogle, Scott Vigay, Ricky Zero, all contributed stories. And look at that, there's me on the cover as well. I contributed a story to this book. So you get this new book, kids. You can read a weird short story by me.
See, I already thought you were cool before you were an author.
Yeah, now I'm a published author.
Now I can say, I knew you when.
Again, in case we needed more reminders that civilization is crumbling, I'm now a published author. It's all over, folks. But this is a cool book. And you can get it right through Amazon. Go through that Amazon link. You can order it right through Amazon. It's cheap, and it's a really fun little book. Every story in here is very cool. I really enjoyed reading it, and I hope that everybody checks it out. And again, if you're a Flopcast listener, there are things in my story that you will get. There's a lot of little Easter eggs for Flopcast listeners to enjoy in my very weird story. So I hope you check it out. We're going to talk about this book in detail more in a future show. Maybe not till after the holidays, though, but maybe early next year we'll talk about it some more. After you haven't had a chance to even read the stuff yet.
I haven't.
So yeah, we're going to hook you up with a copy of this book sometime soon, and we can talk about it in no spoilers, but we'll talk about it in some more detail later on. But while it's holiday shopping season, a reminder, get our new book.
That's right about stocking size.
You could stuff that right in a stocking.
Yeah, you could.
Carefully. Don't knock everything over.
Well, then I can't do it, but maybe you can.
All right. That concludes my ESO-themed plugs for the week, of which there were several. Now, Cornflake, can you wrap up this show for us?
I think I can. I can wrap it up like a holiday gift.
And then push it over like a tree.
That's right.
All right, let's do it.
That's how we do in the holidays. We have an internet presence, you know. We have our own website, for starters. It's flopcast.net, and we encourage you to check that out, as well as going over to facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter, too. Our handle is @flopcast, and don't forget about Instagram. We'll post something there eventually. The _flopcast.
Oh, you're right. Another week has gone by, and I still forgot to post anything to Instagram.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The tree?
Maybe. Before I crash it down?
We could do that.
I'm going to stay far away from the Chickentown tree. It's too lovely.
That's a good idea. I will try to post a picture. Maybe we'll see if we can get the flying spaghetti monster and some of the chicken ornaments in a nice picture for Instagram. That's because a great idea.
It is so Instagram worthy.
All right. I will post a picture of our studio tree to Instagram, and then Cornflake will immediately push the whole thing over.
Right.
So this picture will capture a specific moment in time when the tree was still upright.
Before I get so destructive.
Yes.
And if I happen to make a holiday wreath out of rubber chickens, we'll post a picture of that too.
All right, sounds good. Well, I guess we have a lot of holiday activities to get to right now, most of which sound very scary and destructive.
Perfect.
All right, let's do it.
Peace and holiday cookies.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we're going to watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Every episode?
Every single one.
In order?
From an unearthly child to, you know, the future. And we're going to do it in a podcast that we call...
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
WatchYourRassilon.com. And we're also a part of the ESO Network. So check us out or whatever.
Please.
Stay Rassil Awesome.
Stop trying to make Rassil Awesome a thing.
Nope.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.